It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining the broadcast. I'm Sarah Harnish, in for Bob Price, and we start with breaking news. The governor of New York and yet another lunchtime press conference. Here's the headline. New York State has just hit the pause button. Governor Cuomo announcing 100% of non-essential employees are ordered to stay home or face fines.
We're going to put out an executive order today. New York State on pause. Policies that assure uniform safety for everyone.
What does that mean? 100% of non-essential employees must stay home. So if you're not in the healthcare field, feeding human beings, dispensing medicine, shipping supplies, or working at a gas station, stay home. Here are Cuomo's rules.
These are the rules. No non-essential gatherings. Any concentration of individuals is because you're an essential business and an essential workforce. When in public, social distancing at least 6 feet. Outdoor recreation is a solitary recreational exercise. It's running, it's hiking. It's not playing basketball with five other people. That's not what it is. It's not laying in a park with 10 other people where it looks like life as usual. No, this is not life as usual. Accept it and realize it and deal with it. Sick individuals should not leave their home unless to receive medical care, etc. Young people need to practice social distancing, avoid contact with vulnerable populations.
Those are the rules, and here are the consequences if you're caught outside for the wrong reasons.
These provisions will be enforced. These are not helpful hints. This is not if you really want to be a great citizen. These are legal provisions. They will be enforced. There will be a civil fine and mandatory closure for any business that is not in compliance. Again, your actions can affect my health. That's where we are.
Again, 100% of the workforce, it is now mandatory shelter in place by New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Unless you are feeding people, working in healthcare, or for shipping product, you can still go out and buy groceries or go outside for fresh air as long as you're staying at least 6 feet away from everyone around you.
What you do is highly, highly affects their health and well-being. The instinct to love, I want to be with them, I want my kids, mom wants to see the kids. Be smart.
All of this effective now. The pause button hit in New York State. There are now 7,102 cases of the coronavirus in the Empire State, 35 deaths, 18% of the cases result in hospitalization, 200 cases in Pennsylvania, and one death. Steuben County, New York, where the Family Life Studios are located, has just logged its first case of coronavirus. The Steuben County Public Health Department confirms it received notifications that someone from the town of Bath tested positive for COVID-19. That person is being isolated and monitored by the County Health Department. Public health staff is investigating and identifying close contacts with that person and any exposure risks. Beginning Saturday night, all barbershops, hair salons, tattoos, and piercing parlors and related personal care services will be closed across New York State. The measure is the latest in a series of closings announced by the governor to combat the spread of coronavirus. Just this week, bars, restaurants, gyms, movie theaters, malls, and more have been ordered to close. These new provisions include nail technicians, cosmetologists, estheticians, laser hair removal services. The state says these services cannot be provided while maintaining social distance. That order, part of the same edict that directs employers to reduce their in-person workforce at all locations by 100%. Throughout all of Pennsylvania, businesses are scrambling as they deal with the large-scale closure of their sites. Scranton, Erie, Wilkes-Barre, Williamsport deserted. Few people are out walking around. Businesses shuttered. This after Governor Wolf ordered all businesses to close. Here's a business owner in Scranton.
We didn't have to decide to close at this point. Now Governor Wolf has decided for us. But for the greater good of the public and for the safety of my employees and our customers, you know, we don't have a problem with this.
It was much the same story in Dixon City. The parking lot at Viewmont Mall mostly empty.
It's pretty much becoming a ghost town. It's weird. I mean, you hear these things happening in other countries and everything not in Pennsylvania, and now it's happening here.
Sarah Minnick works for a grocery delivery company. She says it's never been busier for her.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. I don't think that they can, like, even keep up with the amount of orders that are coming in. So it is nuts.
Can't keep up with the new coronavirus cases either. In New York, those cases have nearly doubled just about every day for the last 5 days. Again, over 7,000 cases in New York State today. That's up from 4,000 yesterday, 200 cases in Pennsylvania. Bruce Ireland pastors the Country Chapel Baptist Church in Eldred, Pennsylvania. He says, don't focus on the numbers. Know the numbers, but don't fixate on them. He says that God has given you a perfect opportunity to love on those around you one person at a time. And if you focus on others, the anxiety and stress of the situation lessens.
Stay in contact with people. Find out what they're going through and try to be ministers to them. That's what, as far as I'm concerned, that's what church is about, is being a minister to people. And even though we can't get out and about like maybe we'd like to, there still are opportunities for us to be ministers. And that's what God wants us to be. I think that's a big part of his church, is just being a minister, not necessarily just the pastor ministering, but individuals ministering to each other with whatever they can do, even if it's to sit down and pray for somebody. They don't even know you're praying for them, possibly, but to go through a list and continue to pray for people and ask God for guidance and direction, how you can help somebody and how you can get your mind off yourself. That helps in so many ways. When we get to thinking about ourselves and we forget about other people, our mind can wander, and that's when fears and anxieties and frustration and all those things come into play. But when we can get our minds focused on other people, what they're going through and what their needs are and how we can minister to those needs, it not only helps them, but it helps us.
Pastor Ireland says when his head goes to a place of fear, he gets his head in the Bible. He suggested reading the Bible aloud with your family every day, especially the Psalms, while you're quarantined.
The Psalm says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And as Christians, we have a blessed hope, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. But until he does come back, he's promised to meet our needs, whatever those needs may be. He is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And we can take hope in that, knowing that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he's there with us day in and day out, no matter what we're going through or what's coming.
That's Pastor Bruce Ireland of Country Chapel Baptist Church in Eldred, Pennsylvania. And that's how we cope at home. Now let's talk about some good news. Takeouts and drive-thrus across New York and Pennsylvania having a feast day feeding people. Can't go inside to dine in, but people don't care. Sales are up at the delivery window. Some restaurants are offering limited menus, but delivery for the very first time. Some larger companies like Starbucks are modifying condiments to slow the spread of germs. This is what it's like to run a big restaurant chain with no open dining room in Pennsylvania right now.
We try to prep our members early to be prepared for this transition. So I know a number of my members placed orders so that they had extra to-go boxes, extra soda cups and to-go, stuff like that.
Now to weather. The other big story of the day, high wind warnings in effect. A 35-degree temperature drop and a good storm is on the way for New York and Pennsylvania. The Keystone State will log sustained winds of 15 to 25 miles an hour. If you're in the central or eastern parts of the state, that all begins now through this evening. But the Empire State and Pennsylvania along Lake Erie could see winds sustained of 25 to 35 miles an hour today, with gusts up to 60 miles an hour. NYSEG and RG&E are getting ahead of the storm with details on their preparations. Let's go to our own Brandon Dixon.
Wind, thunder, and lightning. We may get a good show in the sky from this storm. Both the winds and the lightning caused trouble for power companies. NYSEG, RG&E, and Avangrid put out a press release saying they are anticipating service interruptions in western New York, Rochester, and the southern tier. The trio of power companies has been watching weather forecasts and readying crews and equipment all morning long. More than 600 line and field personnel are already positioned as the storm moves in, and 200 more are on call should outages occur. They remind you to stay 30 feet away from any downed power lines and call them to report outages so they can make repairs as quickly as possible. Brennan Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Those high wind warnings kicked in most parts of the state between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. and continue through this evening. Let's get a check of the weather. Here's Kevin Williams.
Well, good afternoon. A turbulent afternoon upon us. Temperatures, they've been soaring. But the winds are picking up, and we've got a cold front set to bring some showers and thunder and then much colder air in its wake. I'll put this all together in forecast form for you in 10 minutes.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Cold air is not any fun, so let's talk about food and finding food in odd places. Even churches are in the food delivery business right now just to meet the need. Pembroke United Church of Christ in Harrisburg handed out meals last night in their church driveway.
People are still hungry. They still have that need. They come here because they don't have the financial resources to go to the grocery store, and whether it's a crisis or not, they need to have food, and that's what we're doing.
They focused on the elderly and those in need. Volunteers walked to each car, signed people in, and gave each a bag of food. The amount of food depended on the size of the household. Church officials wore gloves and limited how many people were in the parking lot. They were able to feed 50 families. Erie County, New York is doing something that no one in the state has done before. They're not listing people's names, but they are now telling the public where they believe the virus, the coronavirus, has been spread. Family Life's Tracy Lynn explains.
Yeah, there was some discussion in Pennsylvania, not New York, earlier this week of temporarily lifting HIPAA laws that protect privacy just so people could be aware of where the cases were spreading to avoid those areas. Erie County, New York has now done that, but without names. This morning, they released a list of new cases. So far, there have been 29 cases countywide, the most in upstate New York, and 315 people are waiting for testing. 19 people in mandatory isolation when they released the list. They also listed all the sites the infected people visited, including a Spirit Airlines flight, Hamburg High School on March 9th, the North Collins Volunteer Fire Department, an Aldi store, and a few fitness centers. State officials recommend you self-quarantine with or without the exposure list, saying they expect the numbers of the sick and the places they've been to significantly jump over the next 5 days. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
A homeless shelter in Pennsylvania's capital is not accepting any new guests because of the coronavirus. Bethesda Homeless Shelter in Harrisburg says it's to limit the spread of the virus. They say it may be frustrating for those that rely on their services. They will still hand out meals at 4:30 every single night, but nobody will be spending the night. The shelter says it's not safe for the homeless or for their volunteers.
I think the community is rising up in the midst of this to try to provide those services for them, but no one, with all the closing of businesses and everything else, this is a unprecedented situation we find ourselves, so we're trying to reach out and care for each other.
Another group is trying to stand in the gap. Downtown Daily Bread is giving out rain ponchos and socks to those in need. Some good news at the gas pump. The prices are falling in both New York and Pennsylvania. According to GasBuddy.com, a gallon of gas has dropped under $2 a gallon in some parts of the state. The average price right now, $2.40 a gallon statewide. That's down 30 cents from a month ago. In New York, the average gas prices are also $2.40 a gallon, with some towns as low as $2.10 a gallon. Nationally, here's what's going on. Just moments ago, President Trump announced that interest on federal student loans will be waived for 60 days. He also mentioned you can still file taxes if you're owed a refund. Otherwise, Americans now have until July 15th to file their taxes without interest or penalties. That's changed from the April 15th date. The commander-in-chief commending Governor Cuomo and California Governor Gavin Newsom for the jobs they're doing to curb coronavirus in their respective states. Mr. Trump says the U.S. is working with Mexico to suspend non-essential travel. California Governor Gavin Newsom, a little more on that situation. He called for everyone to stay at home last night. He's also cautioning that roughly 25 million Californians could be impacted by the coronavirus. Shelter in place in the Golden State.
There's a mutuality and there's a recognition of our interdependence that requires of this moment that we direct a statewide order for people to stay at home.
Earlier Thursday, he asked the president to deploy a U.S. Navy medical ship, Mercy, to help the state expand its medical capacity and warned that more than half of California's residents could contract COVID-19. Here's what's going on in the sports world with our own Sonny Delfiette.
Thank you, Sarah. The question has been answered. Where's Tom Brady going to play football? ESPN's Dan Darlington.
The contract is signed. Tom Brady, now officially a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The six-time Super Bowl champion who spent 20 seasons with the New England Patriots took to social media this morning to say that he signed a two-year deal. 6 months removed from elbow surgery on his throwing arm, Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback Ben Roethlisberger says he has no doubts he'll be able to come back and play well this season, saying that I'm throwing without pain for the first time in years. The Atlanta Falcons have agreed to a one-year deal with running back Todd Gurley less than 24 hours after the three-time Pro Bowler was released by the Los Angeles Rams. The former University of Georgia star has 58 rushing touchdowns since entering the NFL in 2015. That's the most in the league. The Eagles have made a big move to bolster their secondary by acquiring Darius Slay from the Detroit Lions and then agreeing to a three-year extension with the Pro Bowl cornerback. Philadelphia will surrender third and fifth round picks in this year's draft for Slay. Saints coach Sean Payton has become the first notable figure from the NFL to be publicly diagnosed with the coronavirus. The 56-year-old took the test Monday, said he is resting in self-quarantine at home. And from the NBA, the Celtics' Marcus Smart has tested positive.
I'm okay. I feel fine. I don't feel any of the symptoms. But I can't stress enough practicing social distancing and really, you know, keeping yourself away from a large group of people. And just really washing your hands and help protect yourself and help protect others by protecting yourself. Thank you.
Two unidentified Lakers players have also tested positive for the coronavirus. The number of known cases in the NBA is now doubled to 14. On a much lighter note, Los Angeles Rams quarterback Jared Goff and left tackle Andrew Whitworth have donated $250,000 apiece to pay for 2 million meals with the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiette.
In our Google-dominated world, the only reliable compass is a biblically formed worldview. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. For a brief period last June, Tulsi Gabbard's presidential campaign was suspended from Google by Google because the Democratic congresswoman had upped her spending on Google ads. Their algorithm had flagged her for potential spam. So she sued, claiming the tech giant violated her right to free speech. A few weeks ago, a federal judge threw out that lawsuit. Why? Well, because Google's not government. A private company can neither giveth nor taketh away free speech rights. Now, this is a conundrum that raises more questions than we have answers. Sitting squarely as we are in the middle of the information age, the internet is now our public commons. By some estimates, Google handles about 7 billion searches every day. To put that in perspective, there are about 7 billion people on the planet. Do we really want this amount of sheer power unregulated? And on the other hand, of course we don't want the government coercing private companies into acting any certain way. That slope is so slippery, even our best intentions couldn't save us from the consequences. Still, how can we have a free marketplace of ideas when just one or two publicly unaccountable companies own the marketplace? Of course, given the sheer convenience and access to the knowledge we now have on demand, I don't anticipate Americans casting their Apple Watches into the Boston Harbor anytime soon. Though there are alternatives to Google, it's really hard to imagine any will ever be true competitors, at least for now. While we continue to wrestle with all of these reasonable questions about whether and how much companies like Google should be regulated, the more immediate conversation that Christians must be having isn't how to rid this world of Google, but how to live in this world wisely. We must start by teaching our kids not what to think, but how to think. In this information age, accumulated facts and information are confused with expertise, even worse, with wisdom. Situations like Gabbard's remind us not only of Google's power to shape what we know, but to shape our very idea of knowledge itself. We must teach our kids what Google can do for us, but perhaps even more importantly, what it can never replace. In our world, cultivating discernment is a necessary antidote to deception. Too often, we're oblivious to the cultural currents around us, or as the old Chinese proverb says, if you want to know what water is, don't ask the fish. The sooner our kids can identify what is in the water they're swimming in, the better. And the best place I know of to start is with the definition of words. Concepts like love, justice, truth, freedom, God, male and female are loaded terms everywhere, but especially in the muddy waters enabled by Google. These concepts do have true definitions, and carving those definitions into our hearts and minds and enabling our students to recognize false definitions can be an effective armor in the fight against disinformation. My colleague Brett Kunkel and I dive much deeper into life in the information age in our book, A Practical Guide to Culture. In it, we include dozens of practical steps that parents can take with their kids to help them, as we like to say it, think worldviewishly. And now, A Student's Guide to Culture, which is the student edition of the Practical Guide to Culture, is also available. You can find both of them at breakpoint.org. In John 17, Jesus prayed that God wouldn't necessarily take us out of the world, but that he would protect us from the evil one. We probably won't be able to avoid big tech, but with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and a biblical worldview, we can avoid being taken captive by hollow and deceptive philosophy. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we're watching a cold front approach. Ahead of that front, warm conditions, strong winds, and the risk of showers and thunderstorms. Behind the front, temperatures will plummet, but skies will clear for a bright weekend. For this afternoon, strong winds across the area developing. We'll find mostly cloudy skies, a couple of showers, and a thunderstorm for some. Temperatures peaking in the mid-60s to the mid-70s, then plummeting late from the west. Much colder tonight, though strong winds subside. Skies will partially clear after an early shower. Might be a late night flurry, low temps, 20s and low 30s. For tomorrow and Sunday, other than some scattered clouds tomorrow morning, it's sunny but chilly, with weekend high temperatures in the 30s and lower 40s.
35-degree temperature drop. It's coming. Okay, Kevin, thank you very much. If you're just joining us, this is the Noon Report for Friday, March 20th. I'm Sarah Harnish, in for Bob Price, and there are two things that everyone is asking from quarantine. How long am I going to have to stay in my house? And what do I do with my kids? 41 million children are now schooling at home, including every child across New York and Pennsylvania. And that is a huge adjustment for most families. Statistically, less than 3% of families nationwide homeschool their kids. A few days ago, both governors insisted it would be only for 2 to 4 weeks. But as news comes out that this pandemic may not peak for 45 more days and then take until July or August to fully pass and possibly pop up in isolated waves over the next 18 months, you could be looking at more than 14 days with your kids at home. Author and speaker and mom of 10, September McCarthy, has raised homeschooled and public school children, and she offers some encouragement to moms and dads who are feeling a little overwhelmed. I have with me September McCarthy, who is a national speaker and the author of the book, Why Motherhood Matters. She does the Mom to Mom podcast, so please go check that out at momtomompodcast.com. And also a homeschool mom of 24 years, but you've also had kids go through the school system, so you kind of see both sides of it. And you're a mom to 10 kids, which is what a legacy that is. So I've got a few questions for you, and mostly just to calm the nerves of the moms and dads that are listening. We're just getting inundated in the newsroom with calls and questions, and so let's hash some of this out with somebody who's got over two decades of experience dealing with having kids at home. So 30 million kids as of today are inadvertent homeschoolers, and the numbers are rising as more and more states are jumping in on this now. You've got New York and Pennsylvania. Some schools have online curriculum, but a lot of the teachers say they're not even set up for it, or kids at home don't have strong enough internet to be able to watch videos from teachers or hop on in an online format in a forum. And so some schools are calling it an extended spring break, and some don't have anything for these kids to do. But yesterday, the president said this could go on until July or August. So first off, September, could you just calm the nerves of parents who are trying to work from home, or maybe they've had their hours cut, they're stressed out about their budgets, and now they're finding themselves with kids at home and no routine?
Right. Yeah. You know, Sarah, first I want to just share with all the moms, parents, dads, anyone that's feeling the weight of this at home, to just take a deep breath and to remember that you are your child's best advocate as far as learning. Learning is a lifestyle. So it's not just about books. It's not just about what you do and don't have. You really just have everything you need available in front of you every day. We mix knowledge and experience together. So I just want every parent that's feeling the weight of this to maybe stop and think, what can I offer my kids today?
I remember bringing our son home, and I had that feeling that I just was not adequate enough, that I didn't have a master's degree or lots of teaching experience. And for many moms or dads that are listening, this is short term, but they still may be looking at a third of a school year. So what can you say when they've got that little voice in the back of their mind saying they don't have the credentials to do things with their kids at home?
The thing about teaching our kids at home is trying to not duplicate the classroom. Homeschooling is about giving our kids an education and life experiences together, and it does not have to look like the classroom, and you don't have to have a degree to teach your kids a subject or a learning experience. It's really about refocusing our ideas of learning about life and knowledge together. It's not all bookwork, and so you don't need the degree. Every day you wake up, just think, what is today going to be about? And also, I want all parents listening to remember that when you are teaching your kids at home, whether it's books or experiences, it takes half the time that it would in school. So the hours that you think of teaching your kids in school, in a classroom, it's going to take so much less time. So many things that you're teaching your kids are going to be cut in half. So the way of having a degree and being a teacher or having the inexperience or the knowledge is, it's a fallacy. We can do this. We can all do this.
They'll walk away with a lot more than you think they're walking away with. You know, it is funny because one of the main arguments against homeschooling is socialization, even though the science shows that most homeschool kids really thrive when they graduate and they get into the workforce. They've got great communication skills. But the irony of this situation is that in the coronavirus environment, with social distancing, kids really can't socialize very much. They have to keep that 6-foot distance. So what do you do when you're stuck in the four walls of your home and your yard? In your house, September, do you have schedules nailed to the wall and chore charts? And if you do, do you actually stick to them?
We have schedules. And I would say for the coronavirus and this situation particularly, to keep a loose schedule. For parents, focus on what's really important when it comes to scheduling, but have some loose integration, some really enjoyable things. I like to rotate subjects per day in emergency situations like this. So don't try to do every subject in one day. Also do group studies. That gives your kids some socialization with maybe a few friends if you're trying to limit too many people, or maybe do it online with some Zoom calls, things like that. I like to do group studies with my kids. Maybe lump some science together when it comes to similar grades and ages. And to remember that mixing teaching elements is important when you're trying to learn something new about teaching your kids at home. Don't try just doing everything in a book. Maybe use some flashcards or going outside for art, some things that will really integrate moving around and giving you some ease. Look at every opportunity as a learning experience. The most important thing with homeschooling is that it's not just seat work. It's not just workbooks.
What is an example of the structure of your day? Do you have quiet time, naps, outside time? Like, what? Give moms and dads some ideas.
The first thing I would recommend is just to have a family meeting. Sit down with your kids and say, listen, we all understand. We all have different needs. This is what we're going to do so that they know it's coming. They understand the plan. We like to begin with something we call a morning basket. I basically fill a basket, put it on my table, fill it with our favorite books, our favorite music, some art lessons that we found online, some creative things that I threw in this basket, and we just begin there. And that way they don't feel like they're being thrown into this seat work and the structure that they're not used to. And then move into maybe some home responsibilities, and then maybe 45 minutes of reading time per day where everyone separates, reads their own book, or you're reading out loud to them. You could do your art lessons right from your reading books. Just make it fun. Don't put too much pressure on yourself and your kids. And then we take a nice lunch break. Everyone shares responsibilities now. You're all home. We split up our chore responsibilities so that everyone's working as a team. I think that's the most important thing in a situation like this, and especially even with homeschooling, is that we're all working together. We wrap up studies later in the afternoon with some of the kids that maybe need some one-on-one work instead of trying to do it all in the morning. You know, this is your schedule. That's the most important thing to remember, that you're home or someone's working with your kids at home now, and this is your time to make it what works for you. No one is going to have the same schedule. No one's going to have the same thing that works for each family.
I'm seeing a lot of posts about burnout. And for New York and Pennsylvania, this is only like day one or two of this rule of them being home. So what do you do when you're tired of parenting, and hear my heart here. I mean, no parent is like, all right, I'm done with these kids. I don't want them anymore. But we all get to that place where we're just like, okay, if they argue one more time, I'm at my breaking point, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning. So can you speak into that exhaustion level?
Well, the first thing I would say as far as exhaustion is you don't have to do it all in a day. The only pressure that you're going to feel is the pressure you're putting on yourself. The entire country is feeling this. Teachers and schools are not expecting this high standard of excellence that even is not even achieved in the classroom. So just take the expectations off when your day begins. If you see it's going to be a rough day, change your schedule. Your schedule isn't set in concrete. Give yourself some space. Give your kids some space. Say to them, we need some space. We all need some space. Do something different. Go outside. Go for a walk. Take your art books with you to the park or on a hike and do something creative. Make it work for you. The biggest pressure we feel is the pressure we put on ourselves. But spending a lot of time together can cause a lot of anxiety, a lot of conflict in a home. So we try to weave character training into our academics as we're homeschooling our kids now. We're all home together, so maybe it's time to work on responsibility or respect or obedience. This is a great time to work on all those things.
I can see some mom and dads wishing after this for a return to some of the simpler things. Less busy, yeah. Less activities, less screen time. At the very least, some more dinner conversations, maybe book reading aloud as a family. That's something we do at bedtime, even with my teenagers. They all kind of snuggle on the couch, basketball in the driveway. What do you think about that?
I love it. You know, I think it's homeschoolers, we've embraced that because this is more of our routine. We're home all the time. We've learned the things that tie us together more closely. But even the closest of families where both parents are even still having to work now or they're coming home and trying to fit in all of these extra things, this is just going to bring your family even closer together. I would encourage you to just take some time to really form some good, strong family dynamics and habits if you haven't had a chance. And if you do, this is just going to be a greater opportunity for you to do those things. You'll have more time. You know, reading is huge, of course, and the screen issue is another thing we need to think about. We're all going to be using the internet and screens for more supplements and printables and homeschooling tips and art, all of those things, but we should really be careful to not allow ourselves and our kids to spend so much time on screens. I think this is one of those areas we really need to be kind of proactive about in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Can you bring this to a spiritual level? Because we know that being a mom or a dad is the highest calling that you can have. What I want to know is, why do you do what you do? You wrote a book called Why Motherhood Matters. Why does it matter? And how can you bring that home to a mom who's feeling frustrated and a little overwhelmed?
Well, I can tell you, number one, that the hardest efforts that I have put into this, and I know, Sarah, you would agree, the hardest times and investments that we've put in with our family and our kids have reaped the most fruit. It may not be something we see right away, but God really does have a call on parents to do our best and to give our kids everything they need. And he's provided us with everything we need. Parenting matters. And whichever of the parents that are home with their kids at this time, if it's the mom or the dad, I would just encourage you to dig in a little deeper. It's going to be tough for a little bit. It's tough for everyone right now. But the plan that God has for us as a family comes way before knowledge and education. And I think that's what we're going to find as a country, that our call on motherhood and parenting will come right to the forefront. We're going to see relationships and the investment we put into our children right now, in addition to trying to teach our kids at home with some books and some learning, is going to reap so much more fruit than we will have ever imagined. So I would just encourage you to do the hard work. Give yourself a break when you need to. We all need grace.
When you want to walk away, what's one sentence you keep right at the forefront of your head?
Every little investment into your child today and tomorrow and in the days to come will reap fruit, and we can count on that. God has a plan for this, and he's keeping us all well protected. God is watching over us, and he has a plan for the family first.
September McCarthy, mom of 10 from Millport, New York, an amazing woman. This is a special coronavirus edition of the Noon Feature Report. You can listen to it all over again and share it with your friends at fln.org/podcast. You can also download the Family Life Now app and listen on your cell phone, even if your radio signal's not very strong. And go to the on-demand button or podcast to listen to this feature again. Let's get one last check of the weather forecast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we're watching a cold front approach. Ahead of that front, warm conditions, strong winds, and the risk of showers and thunderstorms. Behind the front, temperatures will plummet, but skies will clear for a bright weekend. For this afternoon, strong winds across the area developing. We'll find mostly cloudy skies, a couple of showers, and a thunderstorm for some. Temperatures peaking in the mid-60s to the mid-70s, then plummeting late from the west. Much colder tonight, though strong winds subside. Skies will partially clear after an early shower. Might be a late night flurry, low temps 20s and low 30s. For tomorrow and Sunday, other than some scattered clouds tomorrow morning, it's sunny but chilly with weekend high temperatures in the 30s and lower 40s.
Thank you, Kevin. Recapping our top story, a huge breaking news story. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has just hit the pause button for New York State, officially asking 100% of non-essential workers to stay home effective immediately. That is a mandatory order. It means you can go out for fresh air as long as you stay 6 feet away from the person next to you. You can go out and get groceries, but nothing else. To see maps of where the active coronavirus cases are in New York and Pennsylvania, you can head to our website at fln.org. Finally, at noon, we end with a little bit of hope, bringing church home. Church is now on your television with everybody in quarantine, and pastors are trying to process what that looks like to give their sermons in empty churches as the congregation moves online during the coronavirus quarantine. Family Life's Brandon Dixon says it's like going back to speech class in high school all over again.
Yes, Sarah, one pastor we spoke with, Aaron Duvall of Victory Highway Wesleyan Church in Painted Post, New York, said their pastoral team has resorted to propping up some cuddly congregants in the pews just to have someone to talk to.
I've actually seen a couple pastors set up like stuffed animals around the sanctuary to look at, or have staff members sit in the congregation. There's been some pictures out there. They've even, I think they've even named them.
We thought it was a joke, but then on Facebook last night, a page that's set up to encourage ministers called the Pastor's Helper posted a photo in an empty sanctuary titled How to Get Pumped for Live Stream Preaching. It featured five human-sized cutouts sitting in the pews holding signs. One was Elsa from Frozen, which said, "Virus never bothered me anyway," and Yoda, who held a sign reading, "Wisdom you have." Then there was Thor from the Avengers holding a sign that said, "Bring the thunder." Pastors learning a whole new way of preaching with a whole new audience in the coronavirus age. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Just to bring this home, online attendance numbers are up by the thousands at churches across New York and Pennsylvania because of live streaming and the simple act of sharing that live stream or sermon video link on your social media personal pages.
I think coming out of the four walls, maybe the best thing the church has ever experienced.
That's Aaron Duvall one last time with Victory Highway Wesleyan Church in Painted Post. And that is the world that we live in for Friday, March 20th. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Harnish, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.